Hello. Welcome to Restoration. This is Dr. Paul Looney, and this podcast examines the sixth beatitude of Crosstie, which says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God."
We're going to talk a little bit tonight about what drives us, what motivates us, what moves us in our relationship with others and our relationship with God. And we've been on a series for quite a while now, kind of interspersed with other things, on the Beatitudes. And for those of you who haven't been here, the Beatitudes are what we call the opening words of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we're now at number six. Number six is fairly short and fairly powerful. What Beatitude 6 says is, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And as I promised in the email, tonight you're going to find Jesus' great key or secret for seeing God. And it's in this beatitude. He's telling you, if you want to see God, here's how to make it happen. So are you ready? Anybody want to see God? Now, be careful. And the Bible says if nobody can see God and live. So, you know, those of you just raised your hand. No, but seriously, we want to see God, right? We want to see God show up in our lives. How many of you have really, up at this point in your journey, feel like there's been a moment in your life when you actually had an experience that was so powerful, you really felt like God showed up, that you saw God working in a powerful way in your life? Look at all those hands. Raise them high. Woo, look at that. You know, one of the things I love to do is to ask people, was there that very question, was there a time when you felt like God showed up for you? And the stories you'll hear are amazing. And a lot of times people are a little hesitant to tell them, you know, because they're like, this may sound a little weird, but let me tell you what happened. Because some of the ways God shows up are quite unorthodox. Ever notice that? He doesn't always show up the way you expect him to. It's like, wow, never thought God would show up in that form. But God shows up in all kinds of ways, and he wants to show up for all of you. If you haven't had that experience yet, you can be one of those people who's raising your hand. Because really, God's great desire is to show up in your life and for you to see him. Because at the end of the day, faith is not a matter of some kind of being convinced that all the facts line up to lead you to believe in God. It's not a matter of theology. It's not a matter of upbringing. It's not a matter of your culture. It's not a matter of where you go to church. Ultimately, faith has to do with an experience or an encounter with God. And so Jesus is saying in this beatitude, the pure in heart will see God. And it's not like, yeah, the pure in heart have a better chance of seeing God. The pure in heart might see God. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What a great promise is that? So what does it mean to be pure in heart? Good question. Well, what does it mean to be pure? Let's start there. If something is pure, what are we saying about it? Anybody? What? It's undiluted. Did I hear that? What did I hear? Without blemish, clean. Anything else? Perfect. Honest, good. Those are all great answers. What I think of as being pure is something that is consistent through and through. Pure gold is pure because there's nothing contaminating it. It's just pure gold. But you can also have pure shit, right? I mean, I'm sorry to be crude, but really, you know, just because something's pure doesn't mean it's awesome, right? It just means it's all the same. You know, it's what you see is what you get. And purity has a lot to do with consistency. It has a lot to do with being the same, that what you see is what you get. And so part of purity we're going to find is being transparent. Showing up in a way that really reflects who you are. Well, that doesn't always sound like a good idea, right? Because sometimes who I am, if I show up in that, people are going to go like, ew, you know, like, that's pretty stinky. Because I'm not always everything I want to be. But the great thing about being pure, the great thing about being consistent, is that there is that sense of honesty, that sense of integrity, that sense of truth, that it's unadulterated by deception, by impurity, imperfection. So being pure is partly being all the same, partly being honest, partly being clean, and you might even use the word holy. But Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. Okay, heart, there's another word that we use a lot, but not always sure what we mean by that. What does the Bible mean? What do we usually mean when we talk about our heart? Anybody have an idea? Louder. Love. Our emotions. Motive. Did I hear somebody say motive? Yeah, thank you. Tell me your name again. I forgot. Carol. Thanks, Carol. What else? The true center of your being. The true center of your being. I love that, Wyatt. Thank you. Really, the heart, I believe all those things are included in what the Bible talks about our heart. Our emotions, the true center of our being, our place of love, and what moves us, our motives. If you think about the physical heart that you have, and I went to medical school, and the very first day of medical school, our task was to take a saw and cut through the sternum to expose the heart. Yeah, one of my classmates left that day. She had gone through all the pre-med, gotten accepted to medical school. She checked out that day, didn't come back. Yeah, it was kind of a shock, first day of medical school, to see somebody's heart. But the heart is a muscle, right? Your heart is a muscle. And what does it do? It pumps. And it pumps with a purpose. What does the pumping accomplish? It moves blood. It's the motive force for the blood to go throughout our bodies. And by doing so, it provides the possibility of life. It moves the blood into our lungs where it can get oxygenated, goes back to the heart to go out to the body where it can carry that oxygen throughout every cell. The coolest thing. And every moment your heart is pumping, whether you're aware of it or not. Well, I believe that your spiritual heart, the very center of your being, is constantly at work moving you, whether you're aware of it or not. It's the source of everything that you do. It moves you in terms of your thoughts, your attitudes, your motives, and your behaviors. What shows up from day to day in your words and your actions is a function of what's going on at the very center of your being, in your heart, that very deep place in you that moves you to do what you do. So Jesus is saying, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So to be pure in heart means what? It means to have your motives unadulterated, to be single-minded, to be moved by one thing. Soren Kierkegaard, who is a theologian back in the 1800s, only lived to 42, young whippersnapper, he said that purity of heart is to will one thing. That the reason that we have so much trouble in our lives is because we're too scattered. We want too many different things. And in fact, a lot of times we want two things at the same time that are in conflict. I met with a guy today who I've seen on and off for about a year and a half. And he's in a marriage that's fairly unsatisfying, to put it mildly. And I was asking him, he showed up again after a long absence in my office, and it's like, so why are you back? And he goes like, well, I want to save my marriage. And I'm like, well, looks like you're doing a pretty good job of it. It's, you know, this guy's been married for 30 some odd years, I think. Anyway, but he's unhappy. He wants to hold on to his marriage, but he also wants things to change. And in his situation, those two things are probably incompatible because the person he's married to really is committed to not changing. And so he at some point may have to choose between maintaining his marriage with someone who is committed to not changing and things being different. Now, ironically, if he can let go of one thing or the other, he'll be happier. He'll be happier if he just resigns himself to just being in a pretty lifeless marriage, or he'll resign himself to just focusing on the change that he wants to see happen and let go of having to monitor how the marriage is going. Now, if he focuses on the change that he wants to see in himself, that which is something he can change, then it may change the marriage. But even if it doesn't, if he can let go of that other desire and be single-minded, he may find that whether his marriage holds together or not, things will be better because he's focusing on something that's within his power. Now, we're looking at, with this beatitude, at something that the 12 steps call a fearless moral inventory. Because being pure in heart really is about being fearless, about looking at what moves you. Isn't that it? Being fearless about looking inside and going like, okay, so what is going on in there? What is making me tick? What is in the very core and center of my being that moves me in what I do and what I say and how I behave? What is the source of my happiness? How many of you here last week and saw the Why Are We Happy video? If you guys missed it, you got to watch it. Go online. Why Are We Happy? I just think it's such a great thing because it kind of segues into what we're talking about tonight in realizing that what makes us happy is not something that's out there. That if we really want to see God show up and give us peace and joy, we got to go inside instead of focusing outside. And Jesus is inviting every one of you in this sixth beatitude to take a look at what moves you. Take a look at why you do the things you do. And what you're going to find out is that a lot of us, like Flip Wilson and his congregation, a lot of us are trying to get a response that we think will make us happy. We're trying to orchestrate circumstances and things so that we get to see things line up in the way that we think they should be, or even the way we think God wants them to be. Because some of us would rather be God than see God, right? Anybody feel that way? You know? Yeah, I'd rather be God than see God sometimes. And for those of us who make that choice, God is really happy to oblige. He's happy to step aside and let us be God. But in this beatitude, Jesus is asking us to do the opposite. He's asking us to step aside and let God be God. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we do it by being honest with ourselves. Because as long as we're trying to maintain some view of ourselves that makes us look good to others or look good to ourselves, that keeps covered over the things that are really moving us, we are never going to really be able to let God be God. We are not going to be able to step aside and let him have his way if we are committed to looking good, feeling good, being right, and being in control. It ain't going to happen. And so Jesus says, if you want to see God, if you want to see, let God show up in your life, then let your heart be purified. A couple of years ago, I gave a talk on this, and I gave it an illustration that really helps me. And it's an illustration that comes from a time when many people lived in the country where there was not sewage, right? There weren't sewer lines. And so some people had outhouses. Some people had septic tanks, but other people had cesspools. Anybody ever hear of a cesspool? Some of you probably, well, maybe a few of you are old enough to have had one, but it was like a tank, a water, you know, reservoir of water where the sewage from the toilet would be pumped and it would settle out in there. And actually a cesspool could look pretty nice. You'd see the reflection of the sky and the trees and it could look pretty good, right? You walk up and go, oh, what a nice little pond. Don't swim in it. You know, really, you don't want to get in a cesspool. Well, you know, like a septic tank, sometimes a cesspool gets a little, you know, filled up. And what if you really wanted to be able, let's say you got, you know, a sewer line and decided you want to use this, you want to swim in the cesspool. What you're going to have to do is clean it out. So what's going to happen if you, like, bring a big pipe and start pumping fresh water into the cesspool? What do you think is going to happen? It's going to start stirring up all of that yuck, all the poo on the bottom, and it's going to start coming to the top. and it's going to start flowing over the spillway, and it's going to stink, right? So the reason I love that analogy is because some of us, when we start this process of letting God clean us up, start this process of letting our minds be transformed, letting the Holy Spirit come in and take a look at what's there, it's like stirring up the cesspool. And all this stuff starts coming to the surface like, oh, stop. I was better off before. And I sure don't want anybody else to see or smell what's there, right? And so our temptation is to dam the outflow so that none of that yucky water can flow over to where anybody else can see it. Ever been there? Ever want to cover up and not let somebody see? Even with my sponsor, sometimes I find myself trying to look good and trying to like, ooh, I don't want him to know about that. But when I dam up the outflow so that that spillway can't allow the junk inside to flow over, I dam up the outflow and I dam myself to holding on to that crap, right? Don't want to do that. Because what happens is that stuff is what muddies the water. You know where God most wants to show up in your life? Anybody know? God most wants to show up in your heart. Now, some of you have had awesome experiences where he spoke to you audibly or you saw some vision, and those are all cool. But the place God wants to show up, where he wants you to see him, is in your heart. And until our hearts get purified, until they get cleaned out a little bit, the water is too muddy. If you go down to the Gulf of Mexico and go snorkeling, good luck, right? Because the water is not real clear. But if you go down a little further south into the Caribbean, or the Caribbean, however you prefer to say it, where the water is clear and you put on some goggles and go under, like, wow, it's a cool experience, isn't it? Well, how many of you have a Caribbean heart, you know? And how many of you have a Gulf of Mexico heart, right? Most of us are still, you know, kind of murky. Most of our hearts are still clouded up with the things that we're not willing to let go of because at the end of the day, we still think we need to be God. We still think we need to monitor everybody else's opinions of us, their experience of us. And so we don't want to let that muddiness flow out into our relationships. So we hold it close to our chest. We act nice. Anybody ever act nice? Hi, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. I won't tell you what fine stands for, but it's not, you know, God is not nice. And if you ask God how he is, I don't think he's going to say I'm fine. Because God wants truth. God wants reality. So, what moves you? What motivates you? How are you going to let God show up in your life and to allow you to have a pure heart? I mentioned what Kierkegaard says about purity of heart being to will one thing. Well, if he's right, and I'm kind of thinking he is, what do we want to be the focus of our will? What is the one thing that you want? And you think about it. What is the one thing I want? Is it for my family to be healthy and happy? Is it for me to be happy? A recent study shows that people who pursue happiness are less likely to be happy than people who don't pursue happiness. Isn't that kind of goofy? What if financial security is the one thing you want? What if it's being a good Christian? That sounds like a good thing to will. But guess what? Whether you want wealth or personal happiness or your family to be healthy or to be a good Christian, are you always going to get what you want if that's what you want? It ain't going to happen. Even if what you want is a really good thing. What Kierkegaard ultimately says is that the thing that you will has to be something that is enduring. It has to be encompassing. It has to kind of include everything. And it cannot be external, or we will come to resent it. That ultimately our heart is meant to be moved not by something outside of us, but by something inside of us. And even if I'm looking for a God that is outside of me to motivate me by his thou shalt and thou shalt not. If God is out there, I am going to come to resent even him. That the only thing that really will allow me to experience that purity of heart and that peace that comes from purity of heart, it's letting God be God in here. And that's a process of letting God show up in little ways and in big ways by looking inside and letting him shine a light on whatever's there. Now, it's kind of ironic that to let God be God, we have to be not God. In other words, God is going to show up best in a life that is broken, in a life that is beaten up, in a life that is weak. Because as the Apostle Paul says, it's in weakness that God's strength is manifest. It's in our humility that he can show up. And so if what we want is to look good or to be good, in a way, that gets in the way of God showing up. Because what we really want is to just be open to him and to each other. One of the greatest things about recovery is being with people who have gotten over themselves. Right? Some of you, I just love being around because you're totally over yourself. Right? You know what I'm talking about? It's like, I'm like so beyond trying to look a certain way. So beyond trying to, you know, act nice or be fine. That I can just like enjoy being who I am and where I am. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is within you. And the message of this beatitude is that if you want to be able to live a life of peace and joy and see God show up, you got to be willing to go inside. And you've got to be willing to focus on something that God can do with your willingness. If I'm focusing on Kevin's behavior, then as nice as I am, as giving as I am, as generous I am, as forceful as I am, I cannot be sure that Kevin is going to do the right thing or what I think is the right thing for Kevin. But if my focus is on letting God move me in relation to Kevin in a way that reflects his character and his love for Kevin, then no matter what impact it has, I can still have peace. I can still feel that God is showing up in this situation. The bottom line is it's by looking inside that we reclaim our connection with God. There's a great parable that Jesus tells about a lost coin. And he talks about a woman who had 10 coins and she loses one. And she's very distraught because back then those coins were significant of her worth as a person, her dowry. And in the parable, she goes looking for the coin. And where does she look for the coin? Does anybody remember in the parable where she goes? She go to the marketplace? No. She go into town? She go out in the country? No. Where does she go to look? She goes in her house. And I believe that it's symbolic of her going within herself. And the Bible says she lights a lamp and sweeps the floor. And as she does so, if it's been a while since you've swept the floor in your house, you know you're going to come up with some fur balls, some dust, some dead roaches if you live in the South. You know, there's going to be a bunch of junk that's going to show up. But in the midst of that house cleaning, she reclaimed the lost coin. And the thing I love about coins, and I meant to get one from the car, and I think I left it out there. The thing I love about coins is that coins are stamped with an image. And what I believe that parable tells us is that if we're willing to be fearless and go inside and sweep the crud from under the beds and clean out the cupboards and the closets, take the skeletons out, that in the process of getting all the junk exposed to the light, we're going to find something remarkable. And that is the image of God is still there. And I don't care what you guys have done in your life, how much crap you've let flow in or flow out or whatever. If you will do what Jesus is inviting you to do in this beatitude and open up your heart to God and to your neighbor, it's not enough just to share your inventory with God. You got to be real with other people because that's a lot of times where God is going to show up for you. He's going to show up in a look of compassion. in a word of encouragement, a message of challenge. He's going to show up when you show up as you are. It's great news, though, because you don't have to be anything other than you are. Being pure in heart is a process of just being who you are. And as you let that flow out of you, trust me, the people around you will tell you if it stinks, right? They'll give you feedback that will be both gracious and gritty. You know, it'll be tough to hear, but it will ultimately over time create that process of cleaning out the cesspool so that before long you can see God at work. There's a character in Scripture who saw God show up twice, and his name is Jacob. And both times Jacob saw God, it was when he was having to let go of a lot. And mostly he was having to let go of relationships. The first time was when he fled from his home because he had cheated his brother out of the birthright, and Esau had threatened to kill him. And so his mom said, "Sweetie, you got to go. Your brother's going to kill you." So he packs up his knapsack and goes off into the wilderness. And in the middle of nowhere, with no idea where he's going, grieving the loss of his parents that he is likely never going to see again, the loss of his brother, the loss of everything he had, he puts his head on a stone as for a pillow, and he sees the heaven open up and the angels ascending and descending. God meets him in that place of emptiness. Second time is when he's getting ready to go back home because God's told him to go back home to face his brother. And at that point, he's really thinking that his brother is still going to be angry, going to kill not only him, but his wives, his children, everything he has. And God shows up in a different way at this point. And Jacob wrestles with an angel, which later he refers to as God. But in both instances, Jacob sees God show up when he is at the point of having to let go of everything that he cares about. Why is that important for us? Well, some of you are in relationships that are causing you a lot of grief, like the guy I saw today in my office. You've done everything you know to get a result that you know would be a good thing. To get your spouse to stop drinking, your kid to get on the wagon, your wife to stop communicating with her high school sweetheart, your spouse to, you know, stop being such a workaholic. I mean, you name it, every scenario is represented in this room. And what I suggest that being pure of heart has a lot to do with letting go of having to control anybody or anything around you. And that when we stop trying to be God, no matter how well-intentioned we are as God, and trust me, I have my divine moments, you know, when I'm like really sure what you need. When I let go of that and stop trying to control or influence or manipulate, amazingly, God can show up. But he shows up when we really put things on the altar, when we really, really let go. Ultimately, the thing that we want to will is for God to have his way. Now, let me ask you a question. Is God going to have his way? Ultimately, at the end of the day, is God going to have his way? Yeah, God's going to have his way. He's God. He gets it. He gets to choose how things are. Now, in this moment, does he always get his way? No. He doesn't always get his way with you. He doesn't always get his way with me. But at the end of the day, is God going to get his way? Yeah. Well, what I really want is for God to have his way, guess what? I can be at rest. A while back, I got to my office early, and I office with a bunch of other therapists and people. And I got there early one day, and early enough that I had some time. And I can't remember what I was doing, but I had the most amazing experience. Suddenly it hit me that at the end of the day, all I really wanted was for God to be glorified and for him to have his way. And somehow the thought struck me, well, What if that means you burn in hell? And at that moment, I was like, you know what? If God is glorified in that, then that's okay. I mean, I can't explain it to you, but for that moment, I was just like, you know what? It's all about God having his way, and I'm just in his hands to do with as he wills. And I can tell you, it was the most remarkable experience, one of the most remarkable experiences of my life, because I suddenly felt so free. So like, wow, I don't have anything to be afraid of. I don't even have to be afraid of hell, which, trust me, was always a big, you know, motivator in my life. But God doesn't even want that to be a motivator. He wants me to want one thing, which is have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Because when I really get focused on that, then it's like, wow, okay, well, is God, am I going to get mess God up? Is God not going to have his way if I make a bad choice here? If I don't figure everything out, if I don't believe right or act right or talk right or give the greatest message, is God going to be thwarted in his ability to ultimately have his way? No. So even if I'm trying to thwart God, the Bible says, don't fear. I'm going to have my way. I'm God. Even if you are stubborn and hard-hearted and perverse, if I've been all those things, God is still going to have his way. And if I can moment by moment focus on that as the one thing I want, then I get what I want every moment. My sponsor back there at the back, Mark, thank you very much, has been kind of putting a thumb on me to stop trying to stress about figuring it all out and making it all happen and start trusting God to be God. And sometimes it really ticks me off, to put it mildly, because I've grown up so much thinking that it's up to me to figure out how to help God have his way. Right? I mean, I'm daddy's little helper, you know? I want to help God have his way with you. Right? And I better shut up and let him do it. Anyway, let's draw it to a close. What I want to say is that if you will trust God and be fearless and take a journey inside and say, okay, God, I'm willing to take a look, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I'm willing to let you remove those defects of character. I'm willing to let you start pumping the fresh water in, knowing that to remove those defects of character, the defects of character are going to show up in a stinky, perverse, ugly, yucky, nasty way. Doesn't that stink? That you get worse before you get better? I hate that. It really ticks me off, God. But if you're willing to sign on, if you're willing to let him have his way, if you're willing to show up in your relationships and just be honest, like, I'm having a really bad day. I'm really struggling with fear. I'm really struggling with pride. I'm really struggling with envy or lust or anger, whatever it is, to be honest and say, but I want God to have his way. That's all I really want. At the end of the day, I want God to have his way. Then I can start getting in the flow, fearlessly letting God purify my heart. And when he does, put on your goggles, because you're going to see God. He's going to show up in there. You're going to see him show up in all his beauty, all his tenderness, all his terrifying beauty and holiness. And he's going to change you. And through changing you, your whole world is going to look different. The people around you may keep doing their same selfish, ignorant, short-sighted, small-minded things, but you're not going to get so moved by that, because the only thing that's going to move you is God having his way in you day by day, moment by moment. It is a great ride. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this message of Jesus, the secret to seeing you. And we want to claim that for ourselves, that we want to see you. We want to see you show up in our lives day by day, moment by moment. Mostly, we want to see you show up in our hearts. And we know that for you to show up in our hearts, we have to reckon with all the stuff that's there. And so, Lord, like that cesspool that looks pretty and undisturbed, we invite you to disturb us and let the stink rise so that at the end of the day, you will be free to flow through us in your power, in your purity, that your plan might be worked out in us and through us. Thank you for the comfort we have in knowing that we can trust you to be God. We give up being God. We let go of all those relationships we've been trying to control and lay them on the altar and let you have your way. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.